Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Morning Yankee Show. It is Thursday, April 2nd, 2026. And here we are, another episode as the Yankees are in the midst of an off day, traveling back home to the Bronx with a 5-1 record to begin the season, which, man, we are now officially 1 week in to the 2026 season. And we're going to break down everything from the first week, get into Cam Salute, which we got to talk about. And I also want to get into the specifics of guys having a good start and guys also having a bad start, as well as a update on Luis Gil's return and an update on Carlos Rodon, who we know had a slight setback with his hamstring, but it doesn't sound like it's going to be all that serious. We'll touch on that at the end of the show. And also topic two, if you notice, if you're watching on video, but also you could be listening on audio because this is available on Spotify and Apple Podcasts as well. Topic two, I want to give a little message to Yankee fans. Not that I'm in a place to be able to do so. We're all on equal footing, of course. Your opinion is as good as mine. But I have some thoughts about the current operating procedure of this fan base that I want to chime in on. And it does have to do with Aaron Boone. But those are our five topics laid out in particular. But I do want to, off the top, just discuss in general the first week of the season, my overall thoughts, which are extremely positive. The offense has not been great. It really hasn't been good. There's been some guys that have shined, some guys that are struggling, some concerning, some not. We'll, again, get into that later on in the show. But ultimately, in the regular season at least, the playoffs, I understand, different conversation. But in the regular season, this offense is going to hit. Pitching-wise, though, what they're doing is absolutely incredible. Whether it be the starting pitchers, who have only given up 2 runs over the first 6 games. Overall, we know the Yankees lead baseball in ERA. It's been highly covered. But they lead baseball in ERA by a landslide. As a team, they have a 1.01 ERA. The next best is the Atlanta Braves at a 2. Cam Schiller's been insane. Max Fried has been incredible. And we brought up on the watch party of the day, and I posted on Yanks app, I really do think Max Fried is officially underrated. And I'm not saying that just as a Yankee shill. I do have a, as most of us do, I mean, we're all kind of in the scene, but, you know, I produce baseball today. Little Easter egg, by the way, if you see what I'm wearing. But no, I feel like I got a decent touch on how a certain player is perceived amongst the wide margin of baseball fans. And for some reason, Max Fried is just not viewed in like the legitimate tier of being an ace, even though he clearly is. Anyways, he's been superb. He's 2-0 without allowing a run. We know Cam Schiller, 2-0 without allowing a run. Ryan Weathers, I know he didn't go deep into the game, and he talked about that in his post-game interview where he was saying, you know, that's not the plan long term. I don't want to just go 4 1/3 innings pitch. But for a first start back, or first start in his Yankee career, the stuff looked absolutely fantastic. And he struck out 7, only allowed the 1 run in Seattle. I thought he looked really good. Will Warren was, I mean, I guess you could say along with Ryan Weathers, but even so, similar to him, he only allowed 1 run. Didn't go very deep into the game, but we know how good he can be. And he's going to be starting the home opener on Friday. By the way, programming note, we will be live, of course, this morning on the off day. We'll also be live tomorrow morning as well. So we'll do more of a Miami home opener, homestand preview on tomorrow morning's show. But anyways, the starting rotation has been absolutely superb. And it goes back to the question we posed a couple weeks ago before the season where it was like, all right, we know about Cole. We know about Rodon. Once they come back, our four-man playoff rotation that we always talk about, Fried, Cole, Rodon, Cam Schiller being the four. Because you obviously only need 4 starters in the postseason. That's like the end goal dream, which is a very tangible and realistic dream, because that's what it's going to be, barring any setbacks, knock on wood, or any issues. But even before those guys come back, the Yankees possibly have one of the best rotations in the American League. And now, granted a small sample size, it's in the early going, of course, I don't think it's, for now, up for debate. I mean, right now, the Yankees already, before Colin Rodon's return, have one of the best starting staffs in baseball. Now, the bullpen has been very promising. I know, you know, there's been some hiccups here and there. And I will say, for a guy that's 3-for-3 in saves, David Bednar is getting a lot of crap. I was by myself. I don't know why I said we, because we're all group here. But I was watching the post games last night, and I like to check the comments, you know, on the specific interviews. And Bednar was, in his interview, people were like, you really got to get your shit together, bro. Excuse my French. And it's like, yo, relax. Bednar's really good. He's not an issue in this bullpen. And he's 3-for-3 in saves. It's going to be just fine. Now, if there is an issue long term, you know, as we continue to have the season unfold, that's a different story. But for now, he's 3-for-3 in saves. I think he's been just fine. He's the last thing you got to worry about in the Yankees bullpen. Camilo Duvall, series finale against Seattle, did not look great. It was also kind of a weird outing and ended up being no harm, no foul. We got out of it in part thanks to Bednar after the Cal Raleigh two-run single. Anyways, not trying to ramble about specifics here. The pitching overall has been very promising the first week. We know that. That's been highly covered, and we'll get into Cam in just a moment. I think the bullpen, there's been a lot of positive signs, including Jake Bird looking great. Brent Hedrick looked pretty damn good as well. Paul Blackburn, we'll touch on that in a topic too. But that aside, I think the most promising thing to come from the first week, well, two things. One, the defense has looked superb. Ben Rice in particular. Now, you guys know, I thought it was kind of overblown the way it was being discussed with Ben Rice. I always bring up that Mike Francesa, who is still the god, still the pope in this business, if you will. He always goes on about the Yankees have too many DHs, Stanton, of course, being one, Jason being another, and that, of course, is valid. He would file Ben Rice in that same category, which I always kind of disagree with. I didn't think he was that bad at first base, but there certainly was room for improvement, particularly with scooping the ball at first base. And so far, much improvement, in my opinion, and also just the way he looks. You know, feel for the position-wise, no hiccups just yet. Again, knock on wood. But overall, the Yankee defense, I think, has looked terrific. And, you know, Caballero and Jazz haven't been great offensively. You know, one of those two you expect more from than the other. But, you know, it is hard not to think about some of those double plays we saw turn in Seattle and just the way the defense up the middle has looked this first week. I'm not a Volpe hater by any means. But like I will say, Jazz and Caballero up the middle, that's probably the best shortstop second base combo I've seen in the Judge era, to be honest. So I do wonder, do those double plays get made if it's Anthony Volpe at shortstop instead of Jose Caballero? Because he was quick with a lot of those turns. The day we turned four double plays, I guess what was that, series finale against San Francisco. But just in general, the defense has looked really good. Jazz and Caballero are a big part of that. The improvement of Ben Rice. And also, I think equally as exciting is, you know, Trent Grisham, we probably won't discuss too much of him today because, you know, he's hit the ball actually quite well in terms of barrels, exit velocity, off the bat. I know that's annoying to mention, and I'm not trying to get into all of that, but what is really promising, I think we can probably all agree on, is that play he made in center field on Tuesday night in the middle game against Seattle. That was a legitimate example of an elite defensive center fielder, and we discussed it on this show a few weeks back. They talked about it on yesterday, how Grisham has a personal vow to get back to being an elite defensive center fielder, which you guys know. I mean, I eat that stuff up. But now that we actually see it and seeing that play the other night, that's a ball that many outfielders, maybe if they get to it, it's a full-on lunging dive to grab that ball. Grisham just got a great jump, looked healthy. He is healthy. And we know that wasn't the case last year, had the lower body stuff, hamstring injuries, and all that. Well, if we can get Trent Grisham back to being, forget elite defensive center fielder, but just an above average center fielder, which he is. Again, there's always nuance with these things, and it kind of does drive me crazy where, you know, one of the things going against Grisham and bringing him back, which fair enough for the other reasons. We've had that conversation, and we can continue to throughout the year, but people would mention, and Grisham's a bad center fielder now, because they just look at the minus 12 outs above average, and think that's just set in stone. It's black and white. That's fact. The defensive metrics said, okay, this year he was bad. That means now forever he is not good in center field anymore. Well, no, but then you actually do a, I don't want to say deep dive into the situation because it's, you know, known fact, pretty simple to observe that he wasn't healthy last year. Now he is. So after seeing that the other day and just in general going this year knowing that he's healthy, I figured we get a pretty good center fielder in Trent Grisham defensively. And so far that certainly seems to be the case. But yeah, pitching has been great. Defense has been great. And the other thing, we won't touch too much on this, but I think it really is important the attitude the Yankees have discussed they're having this year about finishing off series and the meeting they had ahead of the San Francisco series finale. And, you know, yesterday, Wednesday night's finale or Wednesday afternoon's finale against Seattle being another example of this, they know how important every game is. And they literally said that. Judge mentioned about that meeting that they had prior to that finale against San Francisco that it was talked about that every game matters. It can be the difference between winning and losing a division. And last year, years prior, there's been a, whether you want to call it a lack of urgency or just being content. And that could fall into lineup construction. That can fall into guys' attitude when they're playing. I don't really know. But what's clear is that was an issue in the past, not just because of results, but now the fact that they had a meeting over it and basically admitted that this is where they went wrong in years past. And now they're correcting that. is another sign, the probably the best sign, the best advantage, the biggest advantage of running it back is this team, and the phrase I keep going to is battle-tested. I'm sure there's, you know, a less corny phrase I can try to come up with, but ultimately that's what it is. They know what went wrong last year, and they're doing the best to correct it. And so far, so good in that regard. And that continued in Seattle with the 2-out-of-3 victory, which, speaking of, let's take a listen to the final out of that and then get right into our main topics here. Reminder, we are live tomorrow morning as well. We're also live, and by tomorrow morning, I mean Friday morning, before the home opener, 1:35 first pitch against Miami. We also will be live on the main channel for the watch parties every single game of that series. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all this and that. Click like and stream if you have not already. But yeah, let's get into our deep dive into everything else. And starting off with the final out of yesterday's game, because it was a great setup and call by Michael Kay.
High fly ball, right field. Judge back. He's there. And the Yankees hold on and win 5-3. They hit the road at the start of the season, and they'll be coming home with a 5-1 record.
Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. So, yeah, 5-1, not a better start you could really script in terms of the overall base record going back home. But, again, West Coast trip, tough teams. I mean, against Seattle, I mean, I don't say tough teams because the Giants, I think, are quite mediocre, although they did take 2 out of 3 against, who was it, the Padres in their next series. So, good for them. I'm actually happy for them. I was starting to feel bad for Tony Vitello. I really do. By the way, Star Wars fans at their side note, Tony Vitello's side profile looks identical to Andor. Do with that what you will. But, anyways, the Mariners series, I mean, that game yesterday, I saw a tweet from my guy Earl. I saw it after the game, but he put out prior to yesterday's game that, yo, let's just be honest, this is a must-win game. And I think that was absolutely correct. Now, must-win game, I know you can get weird about that, and it's mathematically not a must-win game until, you know, you're on the verge of being eliminated or whatever. Like, it's not a must-win game until it's actually a must-win game mathematically. I understand that. But in terms of, you know, if you want to take the vibes angle or just taking care of business, which I think that's the most promising thing we've seen from the Yankees team so far, 1 week in, they're taking care of business. They did that yesterday against Seattle. Of course, lost the first game. That first game was really an awesome baseball game. And it's rare for me to say that. Sometimes it actually drives me insane. I'll see people like, sometimes on Yankees Twitter, you could have a 14-inning game against the Red Sox or something. They end up losing. And some like kid, God bless his soul, like, I don't know, a little 14-year-old be like, you know, I'm sad the Yankees lost, but that game was really good for baseball. And a lot of times I'm just like, yo, F that, bro. Who gives a crap about baseball? Baseball's doing fine, bro. Like, I don't care about baseball. I care about the Yankees. So I usually don't operate off that logic, but game one was a really good game. The Yankees, of course, ended up losing, and we know about the offensive struggles so far, which I'm not worried about many of them long term. But bounce back in game two. Max Fried, we talked about. He's been absolutely superb. Again, let me know in the comments if you think I'm off base here, but I really do think, Yankee bias aside, I believe Max Fried is underrated. I really, really do. But he was great. And yeah, then yesterday in game three, they take care of business, which I think we should take that and run into our first main topic, which we got to discuss this. There's a lot of talking points to discuss with this, not just his outing. And that, of course, is Cam Schlittler.
Tipped into the glove of Wells. They go down in order. Strike three, and Rivas knew it. Swing and a miss. Just exploded past Raleigh. Another 1-2-3 inning. 14 straight retired by Cam Schlittler.
Just 79 pitches. Is it tough to take him out at that point, knowing that he's kind of on a pitch count?
No, not tough to take him out, but exciting to just see how dominant his stuff is. His calling card from, you know, since he got in the organization was his ability to throw strikes with his fastball especially, and now as he's gone to another level, you know, from a stuff standpoint, that's really served him well.
Okay, so final out on Cam Schlittler, 6 1/3, 2 hits, no runs, no walks, 7 strikeouts. And yeah, we mentioned the Yankee starters overall have only given up 2 runs over the first 6 starts. And that Boone soundbite we played after the first Cam SOT, which means sound on tape, by the way. Chris Rose taught me that years ago. But I thought Boone had some really good stuff in that post game. And that first initial response, keep that in your in the back of your mind. We'll talk more about that later. But when asked, was it tough to take him out with his pitch count, Boone just like, no. We'll talk more about that later because it will apply to topic two. But listen, Cam, it's absolutely insane. I think one of the most fascinating things is, you know, the year-over-year or the year-to-year ascension from spring training last year to spring training this year, or spring training last year to his debut in July in 2025, how quickly he has, by this point, transcended into one of the best pitchers in the game. And that's what I really want to lead this discussion into. But I love that Cam, when asked about his progression as a pitcher, he mentioned, you know, it's not just about last year, this year, spring training to when I debuted, spring training to the postseason game against Boston. I'm a different pitcher from the Boston start to now. I'm continuing to progress. And we've seen that with the cutter. It is absolutely disgusting. And talked about on the watch party a little bit last night, but I highly encourage everybody to check out Ryan Garcia's article of Empire Sports Media about Cam Schiller and his cutter and the similarities to Corbin Burns and prime Corbin Burns and his cutter. I don't get too crazy into the hardcore pitching mechanics. I'll do stuff plus, you know, those sort of things. But in this article, my guy Ryan, he was going over like the horizontal break and just the run on it. A lot of like the ins and outs, but not in an annoying way. Like it's really consumable within this article. Anyways, point is, the cutter that Cam is throwing is so nasty. It has break very similar to prime Corbin Burns. And all these pitchers are fantastic. He has three different fastballs. The four-seamer we know is incredible. The cutter we just talked about, it's great. The sinker is equally as disgusting. And the curveball, I tell you, man, now, just like any other curveball, if you hang it, most likely it's not going to be a good result. And he almost was taken deep yesterday on a hanging curveball. But the break on it is terrific. It's a classic and true 12-6 curveball. And as long as he doesn't hang it, it's, for being his fourth best pitch, it's a really good pitch. But listen, he's absolutely insane. Now, two questions with Cam as we continue to watch his outing here, if you're following along on video. Well, one, I wonder... And is this even, I wonder if this is actually even a dumb question. Could Cam get Cy Young votes this year? And I think that's where we're at now, where it's not just about the future of Cam Schiller. What could he be one day? He's a future frontline starter. No, he's a frontline starter right now. And with that said, I mean, yeah, you can get into the innings and all that. We'll see what the overall body of work is come year's end. But if we're just talking top 10 Cy Young votes, I mean, would you bet against that being the case come the end of this year? I mean, I wouldn't. If I had a pick right now, I mean, listen, who's going to be the Cy Young this year? Probably Scooble, probably Crochet, one of those two. And Max Fried, you can't leave him out of that either. But Cam Schiller, I mean, take a look at this stat, for example. So this is from at Yankees Vision. And I know this sort of thing can be a little bit irritating to get into, but why not? Why not? The comparison is there. First 18 career starts, including the postseason. Cam Schiller, 2.36 ERA, a 1.06 whip, K per 9 over 10. Paul Skeens, well, his stats are still better, but just to, you know, put ourselves in a ballpark here, no pun intended, 2.36 ERA for Cam, first 18 starts, including the postseason. Well, Paul Skeens, 2.23, 0.95 whip, 11.2 Ks per 9. Clearly what I'm showing here is Paul Skeens had off to a better start in his career, but it's not that far off. We know what Cam has done. We think we know what Cam will do, and that's always talked about, like, future frontline starter, future ace. He's an ace right now. He's an ace right now. And that's my other question, too, with Cam. What are the chances? And this is a purely, like, a fun conversation. This isn't me actually comparing things. But what are the chances that Cam is the best pitcher on the Yankees right now? And I'm talking, listen, we know Fried or Cole is going to get the game one start in the postseason, obviously, as they should. And in terms of the respect, in terms of... you know, the pedigree, all this and that, a lot goes into who is your ace, who is your true number one, makeup, composure, all this and that. Like, Cole's our ace. Cole's our number one. Full health, like, he's starting game one for me. Side note, we've discussed this, but my logic is I want to split up the lefties. So my four-man rotation in the postseason, I would actually do Fried game one, Cole game two, Rodon game three. And we always kind of just figured Cam would be four. That's not what this is about. But in terms of, I'm going to stop saying in terms of, by the way. That's the last time I use that phrase on this show. I think I've said it like 10 times in it by now. I apologize. Cam, what is the chance he's already the Yankees' best pitcher right now? Not in the future, not even come year's end, right now. If the season was up for grabs tomorrow, everybody's at full rest, everybody's at full health. So let's say Cole, Rodon, they're all back. Throw Clark into this too if you want to. Everybody's at full health, everybody's fully rested. You want to throw your best pitcher on the mound tomorrow in a win-or-go-home game. Now you have many good options. You can't go wrong here, you really can't. But that applies to Cam as well, and the fact that we're even able to say that is pretty insane. I think he's on the level of, whether it be the other Yankee aces, or just aces across baseball. Is he as good as Crochet and Scooble? No. Is he as good as Skeens? No. But he might be in the ballpark. And the fact that we're already having that conversation is absolutely insane. This is not just one of those things where, you know, players have had insane stints to begin their MLB career. And you always wonder, is this Fugazi? Is it an aberration? Is it, when's he going to come back down to earth? With Cam, it's different. This isn't just a good start. He's here. And by here, I mean an ace. And I loved the conversation they had on the broadcast yesterday, which is so true, is, you know, the Yankees now have really turned into legitimately a pitching factory. And for a minute, that was a lot to do with, like, you know, their ability to make a bullpen. They were pretty damn good at it. And we might be seeing that happen again this year, possibly, with guys like Jake Bird and others. But now that's involving the minor leagues. And they were discussing while gassing up Cam how Michael Kay said, he's like, and they have monsters waiting the balance in the minors. And of course, you know, we know about Carlos Agranje, Elmer Rodriguez. This, as a whole, for this organization is, not to be cliche, but like, it cannot be understated how crucial this is. It's almost like a turning point for the modern New York Yankees. I mean, if you're able to create and develop pitching the way they have with Cam and all these guys, and we'll see how the future of the other kids work out. Obviously, Will Warren's part of this too. That's how you get up there with the other very well-run organization in baseball, which of course is the Los Angeles Dodgers. These are the kind of things that will get us back to being like a premier franchise in baseball, which we are a premier franchise in baseball. There's levels to it, and we're no longer number one. If we have hopes and dreams of getting back to being number one, this is one of the best things you can be able to do, which is create and develop pitching. And what they've done so far with Cam, and he's a big part of it too, of course, his talent is freaking insane, but dude was throwing 90 miles an hour at this time last year. And like Boone said, the command has always been great, but now he still has that command with some of the best stuff in baseball. It's there. We're here. Cam Schiller is arguably the best pitcher in the Yankee staff right now, in my opinion. And as for could he get Cy Young votes this year, he definitely could, and I think he will. Let me know down in the comment section below. But yeah, two starts now, completely scoreless for Cam Schiller. He is 2-0 to begin the season. Let's move on to topic two. Now, this is something that I'm actually quite excited to talk about, because listen, I think in the past, and I'm really trying to avoid doing this with Yanks staff this year, I can talk in a way that's so probably irritating to listen to, where people may disagree with the decision on Aaron Boone, and instead of me saying, well, this is why I disagree, and this is why Boone did this, this is why the Yankees are doing that, I would be like, you don't know ball. I'd say, I think the phrase you used a lot last year was like, monkey brain fans. Like, that's stupid, and that's not how you get anywhere with these sort of conversations. But I do really want to discuss some things over the last week, with like the Paul Blackburn pitching the ninth inning in game one, or yesterday with Giancarlo Stanton, for example. Now, when I woke up yesterday, I wasn't even thinking about the possibility of Stanton not being in there, but a few minutes before the lineup came out, I was talking to BBD, of course, with JM, and I was like, how many games has Stanton played? We're like, five. I was like, is he going to sit today? And then we're thinking about it, we're like, oh crap, because we remembered the plan going into this year for Giancarlo Stanton was for him to play 5 out of 7 games. And that's what he did. So yesterday I was like, oh crap, he might sit. And sure enough, he did. And the comments are flooded with, Boone doesn't know what he's doing. Boone's an idiot. Guy's red hot. Why not play him? Like, what are we doing? Classic same old Yankees. And it just automatically jumped to the conclusion of the Yankees are idiots. They don't know what they're doing. So this year I'm really trying to get ahead of that. And I immediately posted after the lineup the plan for Giancarlo Stanton, which let me, for the audio listeners, or the people that are on here, throw the Instagram post up so you can kind of read along with it. But I'll, for the audio guys, listen to it, or I'll read it aloud. But the plan was for Giancarlo Stanton not to play more than 5 out of 7 games. And ideally with this, to keep him healthy, he'll be able to play a 130-game season. That's the plan. So, while yeah, it's not ideal that we're in this situation with Giancarlo Stanton, that is indeed the situation. We got to manage him. We got to moderate his health. So with that in mind, that's probably a pretty smart plan, right? I think so. Regardless, it was a plan going into the season. And Boone sitting Stanton yesterday, had he not done that, and God forbid he's on the IL next week, then what is everybody saying, or a lot of people saying? Oh, that he's made of glass. And I was going back and forth with some people on Yanks Ave yesterday. Good conversation and all, but I was using that same logic about, okay, then he goes in the IL, and you guys say he's made of glass, and the person came back and was like, well, two things can be true. He is made of glass. I'm like, all right, fair enough. Yeah, that's not ideal, but it's a situation. We know we have to manage Stanton's health, and that's what the Yankees are doing. And same with the Cam Schlitter thing. I love that response by Boone that we played before of, was it tough to take Cam out the pitch count? And Boone's like, no, because that was the plan. The Yankees weren't going to go past 80 pitches for Schlitter on Wednesday. So they didn't. That was the plan. And what is the point of that? Because he had back inflammation to begin the spring training, and you want to be careful with him. You want to be cautious. That's smart. The Yankees only playing Stanton 5 out of 7 games is smart, because that means we get to watch Giancarlo Stanton on Friday and throughout the week and hopefully throughout the year. If we get 130-plus games of Giancarlo Stanton, I think we'll all take that end of the bargain and him not playing in Wednesday's game, in a game that we won. And then Paul Blackburn the other night, it's automatically, Boone's an idiot. Why would Boone put Blackburn in? And then we find out with the Yankees bullpen and with Camilo Duvall, they did not want him to go through a second up-down. And up-down, for those who don't know, it's he comes in, two pitches, gets his out, inning over, sits for a long inning, and then to get back up and get hot again. So you get hot via your warm-ups, you come in, get your out, then you sit for about 20 minutes, get hot again to pitch, who knows even if it's a full inning at that rate. This early in the season, you want to be cautious. The Yankees didn't want to do that, and it's totally understandable why that is the case. And also, not to mention, he came off the WBC. Now, if you want to get into the conversation of players are coddled too much, that's a conversation across sports that we can have. But ultimately, injuries are more rampant than ever. The Yankees want to avoid that. And not to mention, Paul Blackburn, he pitched a scoreless eighth inning. And the Yankees, had they have taken the lead in that game one eighth inning after Blackburn pitched that scoreless eighth, Bednar would have come in. But we know about the offense struggling so far for the most part. They did not score. You're not bringing your closer without a lead on the road. And I thought somebody had a really good take on this, where they're saying pretty much, don't be mad Paul Blackburn was used, be mad he's on the roster. That's totally fair. And I think ultimately this comes down to our back end of the bullpen is pretty damn good. And there's the bridge that is being established with Bird, Hedrick. Those guys have looked really nice. The depth is not there for this bullpen. I mean, that is really ultimately the issue. So I thought that was a great line about don't be mad Blackburn was used. Be mad he's on the roster if you're going to be mad about something, which that is totally fair. We went, even me being, you know, the classic old Yankee shill, fair enough. I acknowledge that. But yeah, we knew that going into this year. There's an area to be concerned about. Mainly, it was the bullpen, particularly the depth of the bullpen, and that's why Blackburn pitched that ninth inning. What was Boone supposed to do? I mean, he's on the roster. So I just think, and to bring this all home here, it is a little frustrating to, once you explain it, then people will be like, and I'm glad, I think people are really good about this. Like, once I posted the Stanton stuff and was explaining what the plan was, a lot of people were like, oh, I wasn't aware of that. I didn't know that was a case. And after the Blackburn thing, I right away posted on Yanks Ave Boone's postgame interview where he was explaining everything, and I just really wanted to get ahead of it and say, this is why Boone did that, and it makes complete sense. And people were responding, and credit to them, like, this is, not everybody does this, but the comments were really awesome about it. Like, I didn't know that. I didn't know that was a case. And then, yeah, you get into like, well, Blackburn shouldn't be on the roster, or it sucks that we have to do this with Stan. Fair enough on that. But automatically, it's always Boone this, Boone that. The Yankees don't know what they're doing. And then it's explained, and it's just like, oh, well, that makes sense. We had a guy yesterday, shout out to him, sending a $10 super chat on the watch party, and he was like, why the F isn't Stan playing? Boone's an effing blah, Boone's this, Boone's that. And it's freaking cool, too, because it's like, yeah, we're all Yankee fans. I get where the passion's coming from. But I was like, yo, thank you so much for the $10 super chat, brother. Let me explain this to you, though. And then once I did about the whole Stanton plan, he was like, oh, I didn't know that. That makes sense. And it's like, one, you're awesome. Thank you for having a conversation about this. Because I'm always down to talk ball. People don't get very, especially these days, I know it's all about passion, how much we love this team. I get it. People get fucking crazy about every little thing that either goes wrong or even goes right with the Yankees. It's pretty insane. But no, afterwards, he was just like, oh, that makes sense. And I was saying to him, I'm like, I respect you, you know, having a conversation about this, but also keep in mind, 5 minutes ago, while in fairness, you were uninformed, you were saying Boone's an effing idiot, the Yankees don't, like that whole thing. And it's just, maybe just assume you don't know the whole story. Once you do know the whole story, word, go all in. But I highly recommend, and this is what I'm really trying to do on my end, not that I'm, you know, freaking Spider-Man or nothing to save the day, but I really want to get ahead of it this year, which is why right away I post that Stanton thing. Right away I posted the Boone post-game interview. In the case where I haven't posted that yet, though, maybe watch the interviews after the game and see what the explanation was. Maybe, or like, dude, I'm victim of this as well. I don't say victim, I'm culprit. With Ben Rice not playing, what was it, the one of the games against San Francisco, I was a little irritated because I still actually think Ben Rice should be playing, but I was like, what are we doing? It's a lefty. Ben Rice is supposed to be playing against lefties. Why is Goldschmidt getting the start instead of Ben Rice? And I even tweeted about it. I'm like, Rosario over McMahon, obvious. Grichuk over Grisham, I like. I really like that. Ben Rice should be playing, though. And I wasn't tweaking, but I was like, yo, what the heck? And I'm being hypocritical to my own advice there because I kind of jumped the gun on that. And sure enough, 5 minutes later, it's explained something I was not aware of, which was the Yankees were only going to face one lefty starter that week, and that was that day, so you wanted to get Goldschmidt some at-bats. That makes sense. That makes sense. So I had to retract my words from the record. Now, I wasn't dropping F-bombs. I wasn't saying the Yankees don't know what they're doing. I was just giving my two cents. Like, I think Rice should be playing. And then I was wrong. Or not wrong, but I was misinformed. My take was misguided. Just to bring this all home again, I just think, not assume the Yankees know what they're doing, but make sure they don't know what they're doing first before we start cursing up a storm and just jump into the negative and this all, they don't know what they're doing type thing. I think right now they really do know what they're doing. And the last couple years is not the same organization, the way they're run, than it was a few years back. And overall, like, just the defense we talked about and the way they're looking. And this was the case second half of last year, the defense was much improved. But like, so far, the baseball we're seeing is very clean baseball. It's baseball that is respectable. And I talked about this the other day. It's like, if I was watching these games with somebody that didn't know nothing besides the general aura of the Yankees long or historically, which is they win, they're great, they're a premier franchise. This past week of baseball has reflected that. That was a team that made me feel proud to be a New York Yankees fan. Like, we were watching the New York Yankees this past week. And I was thinking about it. I'm like, man, how did we ever survive? Just think a few years ago with the Gary Sanchez, Luke Voit era-ish of like right-handed bats, sluggers, strikeouts, no defense, just homers. That wasn't baseball. This is baseball. And the Yankees, kind of going back to with last year, the team meeting and knowing where they went wrong, that's kind of how it works. The Yankees know they messed up a few years back with the roster construction. And now they learn from that and they're doing things differently. And I really do think we're in the best spot we've been in the Judge era, whether it be the pitching development. But in particular, you want that blend of strikeouts and home runs. And they recognize the benefits of a Cody Bellinger. And they recognize, you know, we'll talk a little bit of a Ahmed Rosario, but he's actually quite a fascinating case in his bat-to-ball skills. But just the Yankees are a much more well-balanced team. And they're a baseball team again, which is a stark difference from where we were at a few years ago. So the point with that last part is this isn't the same old new era Yankees. They're doing things better. They're doing things smarter. And I would just say, not give them leeway, because I understand why everybody's so fucking pissed. You guys know I always have my time. When we get bounced, I'm tweaking. I want a clean house. I'm right there with you. But I'm not right there with you first week in April, end of March. Not because of the lack of importance of these games. They're very important. They're all just as important as the games come to the end of the year. By the way, we haven't mentioned the Blue Jays lost 2 out of 3 to the Rockies, which is actually huge. Before we start tweaking, fully understand the situation first. And then once you understand the situation, feel free. Feel free. I mean, no matter what, feel free, because it's America, you can do what you want. But I'm just saying, the way I operate, the way, not that I want you guys to operate, because who am I to say, but in terms of what we do here at Yanks Ave, if you haven't can't tell already, this is an optimistic channel. And by optimistic, I mean more so just not pessimistic. It's realism with a lean. I hate doing that because I get pissed when people say that about being, I'm not a pessimist, bro, I'm just a realist. I could say that same thing, same line about being an optimist. I'm not an optimist, bro, I'm just a realist. But I think we do see it as clear as we possibly can while still being, you know, obviously a Yankee fan, but definitely has an optimistic lean. But ultimately, that's just, I'm not a doomer, yo. I like the Yankees. I like watching the Yankees. And I'm not going to just automatically say, F this, F that, they suck, they have no chance, this guy stinks. That's another thing you guys know bothers me. I always bring up the Luke Weaver example last year. We were celebrating Luke Weaver to no end, and rightfully so, for what he was and what he did in 2024. The postseason was great to begin 2025. I mean, remember when Devin Williams, all that was going on, and everybody was like, put Luke Weaver in to be the closer. Put Luke Weaver in to be the closer. He earned it. That's my Nick Turturro, very bad impression, and I love Nick. But then all of a sudden, he starts struggling a little bit, has a bad game in the postseason, and it's not, oh, Weaver's really fallen off, like Weaver has become an issue, and by all means, say like Weaver's a big part of why we lost the division series against the Blue Jays last year. That's just a fact, 100%. But what I can say is then it's F Luke Weaver. Luke Weaver sucks. Like, I just don't get that. And it gets to the point sometimes where it's, not that you shouldn't criticize a team whatsoever. No, absolutely not. I'm not saying that. But it's almost like there's times where I wonder, like, whose side are you on here, bro? Do you love the Yankees or not? And that doesn't mean blinded faith. That just means a little bit of faith. Enough faith to watch the postgame through, find out the explanation, and then start tweaking. That's just the way that I see it. But I don't know. So that's kind of like my message to Yankee fans is, I guess, ultimately, chill a little bit. Because if you really want to start freaking out, odds are you're going to have your chance at some point. Not sure it's going to be this year, though. I feel really good about this team. I really, really do. But there's things that need to be improved upon. There's guys that need to step up and get better. We'll get to that in just a moment. But sticking with optimism, we're going to begin with guys that are off to a good start. And then we'll go to guys that are off to a bad start. And speaking of, let's take a listen to last night, or yesterday afternoon, rather. And a surprise home run, which was awesome. One of the most electric moments of the season so far.
High fly ball, deep left center, going back on Rosarena, turning, looking, see ya! A three-run home run for Goldschmidt, and the Yankees lead 4-0.
I knew coming back here that, you know, we had Benny at first and GDH, and so I knew this wasn't going to be a place unless something, you know, somebody got hurt that I would be playing every single day, but I love these guys in this lineup. I love, you know, being a Yankee and just have so much fun here, and obviously a great team that has a chance to win.
All right, so that was, of course, a three-run blast by Paul Goldschmidt off the right-hander George Kirby, and well-documented by now. Goldschmidt, really good against lefties. That is why the Yankees brought him back. Man, am I drunk? I'm slurring my words. No. Righties, though, he struggles massively against, and that was a surprise home run. And I was saying on the watch part of the time, like, listen, I know Stanton was sitting today, but Boone mentioned, he was like, just because he's sitting doesn't mean he's not going to get the most important at-bat of the game, which, of course, talking about the possibility of him pinch hitting. And it was only the sixth inning, but I was saying, this very well could be the most important at-bat of the game. We're only up 1-0. Yeah, Cam was dealing, but we needed more runs. There was two outs, and Kirby really did pitch around Ben Rice to get the Goldschmidt, and you can't blame him for doing so. And I was saying, I would pinch it stand. Goldschmidt, I love you, and I'm not hopeless with you at the plate. I was thinking maybe, you know, he can still, I don't know, bloop a single against the righty, whatever. That three-run homer was, I mean, I had to apologize to Goldschmidt after because I was just like, pinch it, Stanton, pinch it, Stanton. Goldie comes through, three-run bomb, and that was huge. Now, as for him, I mean, he's only had a limited amount of at-bats. He's 2-for-9, so whatever. But ultimately, that home run, we put him in the tier of he's off to a good start because of that. But you got to talk about Giancarlo Stanton, of course. Now, 10-for-20 to begin this year. He leads the Yankees with 10 hits, the next best being Ben Rice with 7. Hitting 500, has just the one homer, but 4 RBIs. He's smoking pretty much every ball he connects on. And it goes back to what we talked about before the season with that Randy Miller article, which was all about, oh, it can't open a bag of chips. And in fairness to Randy, like, Stanton did say it. Like, I would have written that article too, I'm sure, if I was a journalist. Not that I have any interest in being a clickbaiter or nothing. But I guess that wasn't really clickbait because, you know, the quote was given to him. But what does irritate me a little bit is, you know, on Yanks Ave, I ain't going to be posting what some people are posting, which is that quote alone. I can't hardly open a bag of chips because the general fan who doesn't know any better, which is totally fair and understandable, would see that and assume Stanton's hurt, same old Yankees. And that's what the comments all were on those posts, like, oh, same old Yankees, hurt again. But if you actually were aware of the situation or followed Yankees Avenue to get the proper explanation, you would then understand, no, this is the same pain Giancarlo was dealing with last year. And it's the same pain tolerance he's had to deal with since this was going on, beginning of last year. And what did he do last year? He had a 158 WRC plus. And by the way, his last 162 games played, which I know with Stan's kind of a weird thing to do, because when was the last time he played over 138 games? That would be 2021. But over 40 home runs. And the numbers this year only reemphasize what he put up last year, which was still a nice large amount of at-bats. He played 77 games and hit 24 homers, OPS above 900. Well, big if here. But if he is healthy, let's say this plan works and he can play over 130 games, the way he looks in the box right now, I mean, is it irrational to assume slash predict he's going to put up his best season as a Yankee at age 36 in year 9 that of the 10 years that we got him for? Now, last year, rate-wise, was his best season. Counting stats-wise, 2018 is up there. He hit 38 home runs, drove in 100 runs. My favorite full, complete, put-together Stanton year is definitely 2021, as I feel like a lot of people probably would agree with that. He was remarkably clutch, as he always is, but that's where, you know, the Stanton contract was really starting to age bad at that point. And there was a couple pivotal points. 2023, he was brutal, and that was really where it was like, holy crap, we still have a lot left of this, and he hit under 200. We didn't make the playoffs that year, of course. So, like, that probably was the all-time low with Stanton vibes. But, you know, after 2020, he was hurt that year too, and it's just like, yo, what's going on? We get bounced by the Rays in the ALDS during the COVID season, and it's like, man, like, this is not how the Judge era, the Baby Bombers were all supposed to work out. Like, we got Stanton December 2017, and we thought not just one World Series, multiple World Series, had it won by that point. Anyways, 2021, he puts together 35 home runs, drives a near 100 runs, and remarkably clutch. That, and he hit 273. It was a really, really good year for Stanton, OPS in the mid-800s. But if he plays over 130-plus games this year with the way he's looking, and, you know, he has a slightly altered stance, and that's really all it is, like, altered. It's like a new variation of what he's kind of been rolling with. And he talked about it, just still learning as he gets older, which is clear as day that Stanton is getting better. He is getting better. And with that in mind, if we get 130 games, I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if he does hit 40 home runs for the first time in his Yankee career. And heck, if you extrapolate the production, you like that word, extrapolate, the production that he's had since the beginning of 2025 over that amount of games, it's right there of like a high 30s to a 40 homer bat Giancarlo Stanton is right now. But like, home runs aside, just where he is average-wise. I mean, since coming back last year, he's hitting above 280. And the OPS, again, is above 9. It's pretty freaking insane what Giancarlo Stanton is doing. And the Post had an article, I believe it was it John Heyman or maybe been Greg Joyce? It wasn't Joel Sherman. I would remember it exactly if it was. Big fan of Joel Sherman. I want to have Joel Sherman on one day. I've always loved Joel. But the article was about the Yankees lineup we know is projected to be quite potent. But if Stanton is this, I mean, then we're talking about something really, really special. And I think this team is special. Anyways, some other players that are doing well. Ben Rice, home run. I keep saying last night. What do you consider the... I guess yesterday is an afternoon game, but what is the 5 o'clock hour? Because you can't call it afternoon, but it's too early to be called evening. And I'm good off the whole late afternoon, early evening things. The 5 o'clock hour, I am coining as the day's intermission. Anyways, I kept calling the game a night game, but it's not. It was an afternoon game. Anyways, first home run of the year for Ben Rice, a bomb to right center field. He is off to a really nice start to begin the 2026 season. He's 7-for-17. That's a .412 batting average. We mentioned the defense, and, you know, yeah, the homer yesterday also had an RBI double in the first, as well as in the second game against Seattle. It transpired like the exact same way. Two quick outs, Grisham, Judge. Bellinger reaches with either a single or a walk, and then Rice drives him in with a double. Ben Rice looks really good. And Stanton, slight caveat to this now, because I always kind of label Ben Rice going this year as he's going to be the clear definitive second best hitter on the team next to Aaron Judge. I think Ben Rice is going to get MVP votes. Reminder, that means like top 10 MVP votes. Judge is going to win it, by the way. We'll talk about him in just a moment. But Ben Rice is absolutely insane. And he is, like, with Cam and everything the Yankees are doing, pitching into things, that's obviously a massive W for the organization. Ben Rice might be an even higher thing to celebrate, if that makes sense, because he was an unranked prospect. He was a late-round draft pick, kind of one of those, what they call, like, you know, COVID baby draft picks, where you just go under the radar, your minor league career trajectory, all that kind of gets messed up because it was just, like, obviously a weird time. It's a weird time. Remember that? That's, like, you'd hear that, like, every day during COVID. It's, like, it's a weird time. Just take some time for yourself. It's, like, all right, lady, relax. Now, and all he did was hit in the minor leagues from single A to double A to triple A, and now, of course, in the big leagues, Ben Rice has been a massive, massive success story for the Yankees. And I wonder, we'll talk about this another time, I wonder how long J.C. Ascaro is going to be on the roster. I have some roster thoughts going. We'll discuss that another time. But I'm curious if Ben Rice could be getting a start at catcher at some point soon with the way Goldschmidt looked at first base and Austin Wells continues to struggle. Not that there'd be any change at catcher, not at all. Not at all. But if there's going to be a time where you do want to give Wells a day, I don't love J.C. Ascaro. And the fact that Goldschmidt took Kirby deep yesterday makes me more on board with, if you want to give Wells a day just because of fatigue or whatever, long season, struggles, I'm back open to the idea of every now and then give Rice a start at catcher, because bottom line is his bat needs to be in the lineup. And if you want to get Goldschmidt some time in there as well, and when there is a lefty starting, Ben Rice should be in there. And if that has to come be a catcher, that should be a possibility. And we know it's a possibility. They did it a lot last year. We'll see. That's a future conversation, though. Anyways, some other quick ones to run through. Cody Bellinger is 6 for 21. 286 average, also has 4 walks, though. 400 OBP. And I just think overall with Bellinger, the at-bats look very similar to 2025, which is very promising. You know, going into this year with the new contract, will he be the same guy? We know about some of the advanced metrics are a little bit weird. People wonder about how will the contract age. Big conversation that was put to bed quite quickly because we knew it wasn't going to happen. But like Bellinger versus Tucker, Yanks end up, of course, bringing Bellinger back, 5-year deal. And he looks very similar to the guy that was awesome in 2025, which is pretty much a good baseball player. Makes great defensive plays. You know about the versatility. And he is just about the perfect hitter for me in terms of his approach, because it comes down to something so simple. I'm not going to do a complete deep breakdown of this because it's just a two-strike approach. I celebrate home runs. Home runs are very important. I celebrate home runs more than probably a lot of you guys listening. And there's a middle ground to this, which is my point. You don't just want bat to ball because that means weak contact. And what are you going to get from weak contact, whether it be ground outs or lazy fly balls? No, you want the ball to be hit hard. And that's not a new age thought. Mickey Mantle wanted to hit the ball hard too. Now we just quantify it. But with that said, going back to the point earlier about the old Yankee teams, the strikeout heavy, one-dimensional, right-handed sluggers, the Luke Voigt, Gary Sanchez era of Yankee baseball, that's not the way to go. You want a middle ground. There's homers, high offensive production, and also the ability to shorten up with two strikes. And that's what Cody Bellinger does. And again, he looks like the same guy that we saw last year. One week in, but so far, so good. I really do. It's still kind of like just a breath of fresh air to watch Bellinger play. Now, let's get into, and we'll run through these last things a little bit quick because I got to get to the warehouse. But guys that need to step it up. Ryan McMahon, 1 for 15, 0.067 batting average. His at-bats have, especially in the Seattle series, looked brutal, really bad. And already, I'm surprised it only took this long for them to do it. Very quickly, Amed Rosario got the start against Kirby, a right-hander, on Wednesday. And listen, as long as Rosario can play defensively okay at third base, we will see that happen from time to time if McMahon continues to struggle. We know about the shortened stance, the improvements or the adjustments he made with hopes of improving. Very early, very much still remains to be seen, but so far, not looking good for Ryan McMahon, and it could lead to Amed Rosario getting more starts if he doesn't pick it up. Austin Wells. Now, there's not much of an alternative here besides, like we mentioned, Ben Rice maybe gets a start every now and then at catcher. He's 3 for 16. No homers. With that said, the defense continues to be great. His ABS challenging. Austin Wells has been terrific. Terrific. And that has value. So, got to mention that. Offensively, though, we talk about it all the time. When are we getting the offensive breakout for Austin Wells? Is it finally going to come here in year three? It still very well could. Not off to a great start, though, hitting 188. And he's somebody, too, where like his at-bats have looked frustrating. And that's how you get into this category of guys that kind of off to a bad start, need to step it up. It's not just about where your stats are right now. Not at all. Like, Jose Caballero, you know, he's technically hitting 220. I'm not worried about how Jose Caballero. I still don't know what Jose Caballero is. I'm still excited about him. And I haven't been, like, frustrated for the most part by his at-bats. McMahon, though, it's been, what are we doing? Wells, there's been a few, what are we doing? Aaron Judge, too, by the way, which I meant to talk about first. I didn't even write him on my notes, though, because it's like, don't be worried about Judge. Just don't be. We know what happened in 2024. He was sitting sub-200 over the first, his first 100 plate appearances that year. Ended up winning MVP. We know that whole song and dance, that whole story. Judge is great. He's going to be great. Doesn't mean, in the meantime, it's not frustrating. It is. And his at-bats do look very hesitant, and that's how you know Judge is off. I mean, he's been, like, flinching at pitches where, like, he looks like he's going to swing. He's just very in between. He's a little bit off. I'm not a hitting coach. I'm not going to pretend to be a hitting coach. What I do know is Aaron Judge is great. He's going to be just fine. In the meantime, though, he is certainly struggling big time. Let me just see exactly what he is. He's, 3 for 24. That's a 125 average. But I think he's going to be obviously just fine long term. But come the homestand, I think that could hopefully wake him up a little bit. If not then, at some point he will. He's Aaron Judge. He's just fine. The last one to note is Jazz. He's 4 for 23, a 174 batting average, that is. He struggles in cold weather and has historically gotten off to a pretty rough start. Last year, too, remember, he tore it up against Milwaukee in the whole torpedo bat saga, that series, which then afterwards he struggled, and then he got hurt. Remember, it was about middle of April. Remember we were playing Cleveland last year, and Jazz was really struggling, and then he like ran into a home run. And I was like, all right, maybe Jazz can get hot finally because he was really, really struggling. And then he gets hurt, and it's like, oh, damn. Once he came back, from the second he came back, first game, he hit like a go-ahead homer at the stadium. That's where he went off. But this time last year, the first basically 2 weeks of the season, he was pretty brutal. Like, just as brutal as he's been so far this year, but actually the at-bats looked worse. He did have a really nice at-bat in, it was game one, it was a long, fouling pitches off, really good at-bat, and ultimately just hit a ground ball to the right side, but allowed the runners to move over. And then Amir Rosario did his job with the sac fly. So I don't think it's really been like, insanely frustrating Jazz's at bats so far, at least in comparison to other ones that we've seen from Jazz. Like, I think Jazz has looked a lot worse at times, but ultimately he's struggling so far. Hasn't hit a home run just yet. The defense, though, remains exceptional at second base. A little annoying and concerning. Him getting picked off at first base yesterday, if that truly was because he was strapping his gloves in, but he didn't really look like he was paying attention all that much. Or just wasn't prepared for a potential throw over, which is, of course, what happened. He got picked off. That's the thing I want to see Jazz shore up this year, is the mental mistakes. Because outside of that, I mean, Jazz is great. The defense alone is game-changing. The speed, game-changing. By the way, the Yankees are running a little bit, man. Bellinger already has two stolen bases. Judge tried to steal a base yesterday, too, which he's more than capable of doing. Kyle Raleigh just had, also some very bad throws this series, had some really good throws. That was probably the best, when he nailed Bellinger in, I think it was game two, whatever it was. That might have been probably the best throw I've ever seen by a catcher, honestly. I mean, it was right in the money. It was a laser. But anyways, yeah, Yankees are running. We know Jazz will be, too. He already has a couple stolen bases, I believe. Yeah, let's see. Yeah, Jazz has two. Bellinger has two. Caballero has one. Grisham has a stolen base as well. But yeah, I really like what I've seen for the most part. Outside of the guys that need to step up. Jazz, I'm ultimately not worried about. I mean, he'll put up numbers. I think run into 30 homers. Probably steal 30 bases again. I think his OPS will be near 800. The quality of bat is something I look for with Jazz, and I think that one the other day was pretty promising. The defense we know is great. Wells, we talked about, he's got to get going. McMahon really got to get going, or he's going to lose playing time quick, as we're already starting to see. And Judge, he's going to be fine. Anyways, I feel really good about this team. Let's do some last few updates here before we get out of here. So, Luis Gil, we know about him and the fact that he was optioned at AAA, quote-unquote. Not quote-unquote, I mean, he was. But ultimately, this was just an extended spring training for him. He is indeed lined up to start April 15th versus Tampa Bay. So that is when, in all likelihood, not official, but he will make his season debut. And I'm excited. We'll talk more about it come that day when he does indeed return officially. But we will be seeing Luis Gil soon. And that'll be within the next couple weeks. Also, Carlos Rodon, hamstring tightness. No matter what, this didn't really concern me all that much because, again, I think we're in a good spot pitching-wise regardless. So even if, at the time, I'm thinking, all right, worst case, this sets him back. Let's say it was a grade one hamstring strain. If we even didn't get Rodon back until June, not ideal. I want to have him back. But more so from like an excitement factor over just how good our rotation is going to be, that whole conversation, we could survive. Though, with that said, the Yankees believe it's minor. And Rodon literally threw yesterday. We have more updates to come, but whether it is something significant enough to actually push him back in his rehab, which it already had. I mean, he was going to make a rehab start, I think, this upcoming week. And that's at least pushed back a week. But it doesn't seem to be anything significant. It sounds like we're probably still going to get Rodon back some point in May, maybe early May still, instead of late April. But that's all well and good. Like I said, not too worried about that regardless. But again, the Yankees believe it's minor. So sounds like it's nothing we should worry about to begin with. Anyways, that is going to do it for today's show. I got to run now. But yeah, great first week of Yankee baseball. We have another show tomorrow morning for we'll do a little series preview. So that's just some more deep dive and some other stuff. Some more stories, see if there's some other things that maybe come out today that I want to talk about, which I'm sure there will be. I know there will be. But yeah, we'll be live tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Thank you guys so much for joining this episode of the Morning Yankee Show. Also, of course, we'll be live on the main channel for watch parties throughout the entire Marlins series. We're live pretty much every game, unless something comes up, I'll let you guys know. But if there's a Yankee game, just figure there'll be a Yankees Avenue watch party. And that remains the case for the Marlins series. But in the meantime, I might try to drop like a week one highlight video on the main channel too, of just like all the good stuff to come from the first week. But yeah, that aside, see you guys tomorrow morning. And then for the watch party, home opener. Let me know if you're going, by the way. I'm not going. I like going to games. I would say if I could clone myself and send them there, I would. But ultimately, it's better for Yanks to have if I'm home consuming the game right here at my beautiful desk where God intended me to be in my bedroom in Hoboken, New Jersey. Anyways, that's all I got. I got to run. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Have a great rest of your Thursday, and I'll see you tomorrow morning. Let's go, Yanks.